If it's Monday, it's time to talk with Annie Dugan about where we can find art. And art is available in the most unexpected of spaces and places, as usual. Morning there, sunshine. There we are. Sorry.
Hello.
That was my bad. My bad, not your bad. It's been one of those mornings.
I will stay in one place. It's the rain. It's the wonderful rain.
That must be
giving us all a break. And art this week, I encourage everyone to go to the Sister Cities Park in Duluth, which is a wonderful tucked away park that is a beautiful park to discover in and of its own right. But starting this weekend and up through October, it has been activated even more by an artist named Tia Kiyopase. A lot of folks by the name
Annie,
of
you're, her. Whoops, sorry, because of the rain, you are breaking up just a little bit.
Oh,
so
no.
You started to say the name of the artist and we got...
Oh, dear. Kiyopase. Lots of folks know Tia through her work as a jewelry artist through Silver Cocoon Jewelry, so the wonderful, colorful work that people wear in our region. But she lately has been doing installation projects. So she has been thinking about work from more of an architectural standpoint. Her father is an architect. She's married to an architect. There is architecture in her being, and she's realizing that a lot of what she's doing can be spoken through that language as well. And so I love this space. So the Sister Cities Garden and Park is just off of the Lake Walk, of sort of the upper deck of the Lake Walk. If you're up looking down at all those huge piles of rocks, which are sort of architectural structures in their own right, along Canal Park, you can zip over and sort of do this bypass walk over to the Sister Cities Park. And she chose this space. In the middle of the park, there's sort of a circular lawn of grass. And she chose this space because she has been thinking for a long time about the story in our region. It's sometimes referred to as Red Exodus or Carilion Fever, K with a Carilion, which was this phenomenon in the early 1930s near Americans.
Okay, we lost you for just a second.
Oh,
a
no.
space in the 19. Well, no, it's just like one word, but it's always the good words. It was a space
Carilion's
where
a good word.
Blank Americans.
Oh, Finnish Americans. That's important.
Yeah, see, that's
Finnish
an important
Americans.
Word.
That's an important part, because they went to Russia thinking that they were going to create this new utopian society of Finnish-speaking society, and it turned out sort of to be a trap, and a lot of folks ended up in camps. Many of them died, so Tia's grandmother was one of those people that was part of this Red Exodus, and she never was able to talk to her grandmother, and she wanted a way to process this history. And so the creation that she has in the Sister Cities, that's why it's in the Sister Cities Garden, because we have this Sister Cities relationship with Petrozavodsk, Russia. And she wanted to make that connection, because I think the right at the center there's these crossroads. The piece itself is called Unweaving, and it is, for even if you go and just experience it as it, sort of its own wonderful thing without the layers, because there's a lot of different layers in it, it is just a wonderful structure. There's four yellow structures, for lack of a better word, that have, you are able to sit inside them, lay inside them. I took my boys, and they were very eager and very willing to try out the different ways that you could enjoy these sculptures. You can lay in them and look up. On the back, she has weavings, and she's used this bright yellow color. She uses materials from an old sail, which is really fitting, because as you're laying in it and you're looking up, you see these wonderful strips of fabric sort of blow lightly in the breeze. And I said, oh, it's like you're sailing. And my son said, it's much more relaxing than sailing. So you can go and lay and enjoy, look up at the sky. The way she has them oriented, they interact with the Duluth skyline in a really interesting way. And the title of the work, Unweaving, I think is really fascinating because a lot of what she's doing is about this, you know, how we build things and then how things unravel. And so she has a website that is dedicated to the work. It's called unweaving.org. So it's a really easy one to remember, unweaving.org, that helps you investigate sort of her questions, the questions that she was asking herself while she was making it, but also questions that folks can ask themselves when they're looking through it. She has little messages actually throughout on some of the strips that you can look at. You know, what's keeping me from seeing everything that I can't see right now? What do I need to let go of? So sort of they can be wonderfully, you know, just joyful structures to see, but they can also be meditative objects and meditative focusing places to really think about these larger issues of history, of how we make society, how we build society, and how society can also fall apart. So they're very timely structures for us today. So definitely go down. I'll send you some images, too, to put up online because they're really enticing. I went on a super sunny day, and they were wonderful to see, but I think they'd be nice to see on a rainy day, too, because that bright yellow would remind you that this all passes at some point. And then looking further out, I want to get everybody to remember that in 2 weeks, Wednesday, September 16th, the Duluth Art Institute is having its virtual gala. So this is a way, they've done some really fascinating ways to, all organizations are having to really reconfigure how they reach out to their community. And the Duluth Art Institute is bringing in some really amazing artists to help with this virtual event. Chelsea Antoinette is going to talk about her work and the power of creative rebellion, which I think is going to be really inspiring. So put that on your calendar Wednesday, September 16th at 6 p.m. And I'm sure we'll talk about that more the next time, Lisa.
So I had the opportunity to watch an artist making art this
Ooh.
Weekend, and that was like so freaking cool. And I know
process
that
is, you know how much I love process.
Oh man, it's just all right. I'm obviously at a loss for words, and that happens almost never. But even when I have no words, I have words. So, first of all, whenever you have the opportunity to find out how something is made or done or created, take it.
Yes.
Learn new stuff. Watch how cool things are made. It's such a mind-opening experience, I find.
And you had, yours was metalwork, which I think, I mean, all works, I think, are fascinating being made because even if it's something really slow and meditative, the artist can talk in really interesting ways about it. But metalwork is like, it's just this, like, it's a whole body physical artwork that is really beautiful to watch because it's not just the artwork itself. It is the physicality of the person pounding and,
right.
you know, bringing this object forth.
And the whole process. And who knew that bear grease, and as Paul Weber, the blacksmith, says, yes, real grease from bears, squeezed out of real bears, he says. Bear grease, you put it after you've done what you can to restore a piece of rusted iron. It seeps into the pores. I use the term loosely because I'm not a blacksmith, but it seeps into the pores in the metal and forces out the oxygen so that it isn't going to get any rustier. It might never be restored to like brand new, but it doesn't get any rustier. And bear grease, well, so that's what bear grease does. Then beeswax is like varnish, but it's non-toxic.
Amazing.
Who knew?
That's amazing. Who knew?
There's
wonderful worlds beyond every art medium.
The other thing that I discovered, well, I won't say I discovered it because I discovered it a long time ago, but the other thing that I was reminded of is find somebody in your life today. I know you like to give little assignments. Here's my little assignment. Find somebody in your life who is extraordinarily talented at doing something. If it's something physical, that works really best. You know, if it's a skill that they have or a process that they have or something that they do that they're really, really good at, and watch them do it. It's like dance. It's like poetry. The whole experience of watching somebody do something they're really good at is an art, is an observed artwork in itself.
Well, Lisa, I'm really good at napping, but I'm hoping that no one comes and does that as their assignment.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It'd be creepy.
I get. Well, I could actually, what I'll do then is I'll ask your boys if they'd like to submit, you know, kind of a Zoom report on it or something later. But no, probably the only person on the planet that watched a hockey practice and started to cry. But I had known our former station manager, Mimu Salmela, for a long, long time. I'd never seen her skate. And to see her doing this thing that she does like other people breathe was just transformative. You see someone differently, and just that there's something about the way people move when they're doing a physical act or a task or a job that they really know inside out, that it's just magic. Really is.
It's beautiful. It's an artwork in and of itself. Absolutely.
Annie, thanks a million, and let's do it again in a week, shall we, just for fun?
I love it. That sounds like a plan. Thanks, Lisa.
Annie Dugan this morning. You can watch Annie Dugan make the radio. Oh, we need to do a Zoom so you can watch Annie Dugan make the radio like she's been doing for so long here on Northland Morning. And we are so grateful. Where's Art, a regular feature of Mondays right here on KUMD.